Hello, and welcome to Open Source Sex. My name is Violet Blue, and my website is tinynibbles.com. That's tiny nibbles as in little bites. And Open Source Sex is my extremely irregular podcast about sex and sexuality. And welcome, thank you for listening. And apologies, first of all, to regular listeners for the extreme hiatus that I've been on. I've, again, as usual, been running fleshbot.com in the absence of my editor, who has been trying to get his house straightened out. He lives in New Orleans. So things have been really crazy since August. And also, on top of that, I've had a really hectic set of book deadlines. So I've temporarily actually resigned Fleshbot for a month or two so I can get my books together and get them to my publishers so nobody freaks out. But rather than a lengthy explanation as to why I haven't been podcasting, how about I just get to the meat of today's podcast, so to speak. Today is Halloween, and I have a lot of European listeners, so Halloween probably doesn't matter too much to you, but Halloween here, at least in San Francisco, is a huge and very important holiday for us. And it's really, it's practically the national holiday of San Francisco. I mean, today's Monday, it's the actual day of Halloween, and people have been in costume in San Francisco since Friday. I kid you not. Friday, there was a band of Ninja Turtles on bicycles chasing some guy in a huge silver outfit down Market Street, and that was in the afternoon. That was just the beginning, and people have pretty much been in costume everywhere ever since. And out at Castro and Market, it's been like Mardi Gras for the past few days. Tonight is the culmination of the celebrations, and there should be a lot of really fun things to do. Saturday night, a whole bunch of us got together and went to a party at a dominatrix's house. I'm going to be putting some pictures online from the dungeon tours that we got, which was just amazing. I mean, if you can imagine, like, the Barbie dream dungeon, she's got it. It was just incredible to hang out in there with all sorts of wildly costumed people and have drinks and enjoy looking at the gimp hoods and things like that. At any rate, I've got some awesome, awesome, awesome Halloween porn to read to you, so I'm just going to go ahead and get started. The first one is by an author named Elizabeth Colvin, and I've worked with her a couple of times before on Good Vibes magazine when I was the editor of Good Vibes magazine, and I've also published a couple of her pieces in a couple of my anthologies. Taboo is the one that comes to mind, and I'm pretty sure she's also in Sweet Life, too, and those are both fantasies for couples that are pretty edgy and pretty fun. But she's a great writer, so I'm going to get right to it. Hers is called Zombie Love by Elizabeth Colvin. Jimmy was dressed up like a zombie. That's how it started. I mean, not that I've got a thing for monsters or anything, but you remember young Frankenstein? A creature like that would have a very large schwanstucker. Know what a schwanstucker is? I don't either, but you get the idea. Jimmy had one, all right. I already knew that. It wouldn't have tempted me so much if I wasn't dressed up like a damsel in distress. White, fluffy dress, cut very close and showing a lot of cleavage, drawing stares from everyone at the party, women and men alike. Not to mention the dual slits at my legs, so high that they almost reached my hips. My blonde hair was in pigtails, my eyes painted so they looked even bigger than they are, big and bright and utterly without guile. Very sexy, but virginal. I mean, the whole innocence gone wrong thing really appealed to me, and it was kind of turning me on knowing I looked sexy enough to draw stares from everyone. Usually Halloween is when people break out their sexy personas, the schoolgirls and sluts and cheerleaders and vamps and French maids they always wish they could be. Not this crowd, though. There weren't even that many costumes. Maybe half of the guests were dressed up, and those had gone for, you know, the usual lame costumes selected by people without much time to create. Lawyer types dressed as James Bond, computer geek army men, one woman dressed like a judge, waxing philosophic on the importance of having women on the Supreme Court. Ugh. It's not like we planned it that way, but when a party gets boring enough, you need something to keep you occupied. And Jimmy's always good at keeping me occupied. Jimmy? He's into costumes. He found me the dress, even bought it for me. So maybe it was his idea to begin with. I don't know, but his costume was better than mine. He'd gone for the face paint and even a bit of rubber prosthesis. A big gash in his head, running from his pallid chin to his pallid forehead, oozing what looked like blood. Really, really gross. It was Halloween, after all. Jimmy's a big guy, 6'4", more than a foot taller than me, with broad shoulders and muscles. He doesn't even work out and he stays in shape, his chest fairly well muscled and his belly and legs slim and sinewy. I hate him for that. But then, I love him for that, too. Jimmy grunted at me, leaning over and nuzzling my ear as we sat on the couch, listening to some loser spin another tale of a dot-com rich is gone poof. I swatted his arm. Don't get friendly, I whispered. If you think I'm going to make it with a zombie, you're dead wrong, mister.
Dead,
he grunted into my ear. Then quieter, zombies have supernatural strength, he said. You'd be helpless to resist. I elbowed his ribs and put my lips to his ear. I whispered, just try it, maggot man. We'll see who's helpless to resist. Zombies need love, too, he whispered. Some zombies need a spanking. That, too, I heard him say. What are you two whispering about? Sighed Annette, one of the hosts, as she breezed by the sofa picking up discarded plastic cups. She was dressed as a fairy princess, her high-peaked cap smacking the chandelier and falling off every time she passed under it. Care to share it with the rest of the class? We were just discussing zombie love, said Jimmy. I hear it's quite compelling, winked Annette, and flitted away. What's with her? I wondered in a whisper. She said we could use their bedroom, Jimmy said softly. For what? I told her you had a headache, he whispered. I said you might want to lie down. I don't have a headache, I hissed. I'll give you one, Jimmy said. You are already. Good, he said, and got up from the couch. Grasping my hand, he all but dragged me with him. Excuse me, he said to the other guests clustered around the couch. I've got to go fix my makeup. Jimmy, I protested as he dragged me along the hallway. This is rude. It's a scientific fact that zombies have no social skills, he said, pushing me toward the staircase. But they have enormous sex drives. I felt a quiver go through me as he said that. Was he really being that blatant? He was telling me that he was going to take me upstairs and fuck me in his zombie costume? I looked at him, admiring the weirdness he'd poured into his costume, the caked blood on the tattered suit coat, the big gash in his head. But more than that, I admired the way the black, threadbare suit matched the contours of his body. I turned and hurried up the stairs. I had never been in Annette and Mike's bedroom. They were friends of Jimmy's, not mine. It smelled unfamiliar, a mix of potpourri and incense with the hint of strange bodies underneath. Unique, the way every lover's bedroom smells different the first time you walk into it. They had framed prints of Klimt on the walls and a smattering of candles around the bed. The candles had been lit. More importantly, they had a big king-size bed with an enormous, heavy wooden frame. At the head of the frame, they'd velcroed three different kinds of lube in big pump bottles. And right there in each corner, metal restraints were bolted directly to the frame. Jimmy closed the door and locked it. I turned, my eyes wide. Wait a minute, I said. I didn't know Annette and Mike were kinky. Very much so, he said, even kinkier than us. You're not thinking. Zombies have inordinate strength, he said, and grabbed me. I felt like I should argue with him, but I just sort of melted into him. When Jimmy and I have sex, I adore the feeling of his huge bulk on top of me, his strong arms crushing me to him. I love the feeling of losing myself in his hugeness. The only problem is that he really does have an enormous Schwanzstucker. And as for me, I'm not exactly built like the Bride of Frankenstein, know what I mean? But Jimmy's the most patient, understanding lover I've ever had, though, so it's all good. But this was a zombie, right? A monster. He's supposed to have an enormous one in any event. I couldn't stop thinking about it. More importantly, there was something hot about Jimmy's costume. Unnerving. Scary. Don't they say fear is an aphrodisiac? What if Mike and Annette walk in? I asked, as Jimmy began to untie the back of my innocent virgin dress. They won't, Jimmy said. I told them I was bringing you up here to fuck you. Excuse me? Come again? Oh, they're cool, he said, as he pulled the last fastener and my dress slipped off my shoulders, pooling around my feet. I stood there in a white thong and no bra, my white 4-inch heels on my feet, lifting my head to only a foot lower than Jimmy's. I could feel my nipples hardening against the wool of his thrift store suit. On the bed, prisoner of love, he told me. Or what? Jimmy and I liked to play games a little, and that was all the opening he needed. He seized me, his hands firmly gripping my shoulders, and pushed me back onto the bed. I gasped as I went bouncing onto it. Under Jimmy's bulk, I was helpless as he fitted my wrist into the cool metal restraints and clicked them closed. I hope you have the key, I whispered. Nope, said the zombie cheerfully. Annette has it. What? I hissed, pulling against the restraints. But by that time, Jimmy was down at my legs, forcing my ankles into the manacles. He had to stretch my legs wide, very wide, to get them to fit. I think the bed's too big, I squeaked, Can you loosen them at all? Annette's taller than you, said Zombie Jimmy. That's as loose as they get. I lay there, utterly immobilized, stretched out on a stranger's bed, manacled. I was stretched so tight, I couldn't even move a little bit. I was spread wide, my pussy exposed, except for the thin slip of fabric that made up my thong. Jimmy stood next to the bed and surveyed his conquest. Me, spread-eagled in an X of surrender, slim breasts peaked with hard nipples as it sank in that my boyfriend was going to fuck me like this. I was about to be taken. I was still in the innocent virgin mode, and discovering it was a huge turn-on for me. Please, I whispered breathlessly, be gentle.
Zombies never gentle, he grunted. Zombie love is hard love. Zombies eat human flesh.
He made a dramatic face, which got me giggling a little. Jimmy shrugged off his blood-spattered suit coat and pulled his T-shirt over his head, careful not to disrupt his head wound. He quickly undid his pants and let them fall, then stripped off his boxers and kicked off his shoes. Standing there nude except for face paint, a prosthetic head wound, zombie face makeup with white face and trickles of blood running out of his mouth, I have to admit it, but Jimmy looked disturbing, but also compelling. More compelling, though, was his hard cock, standing full and hard and huge, with its gentle curve beckoning to me. Whenever I see it hard, I have to admit my mouth just starts watering. I squirmed against the steel manacles, feeling helpless, wholly owned. I could feel my pussy getting wet as my eyes ran up and down Jimmy's hard cock. I could feel my throat aching for it, could feel a thin dribble of saliva forming at the edge of my mouth. I slurped, perhaps a little louder than I needed to, and licked my lips. Jimmy could see me looking at it. He knew what I wanted.
"Zombie need virgin," he grunted. "Evil jungle zombie god need virgin sacrifice."
"Cut the zombie crap," I breathed, "and come over here and put that thing in my mouth." Zombie Jimmy crawled onto the bed, holding me down with his bulk as he squeezed his knees and folded his legs awkwardly into the space between the top of my head and the headboard. I opened wide, and he guided his cock to my mouth, sliding it in until the head reached the back of my throat. It tasted divine. I wanted to moan, but my mouth was so full. I ran my tongue along the underside and swirled it over the head, tasting his pre-cum. I felt my pussy throbbing, hot and dripping, as I pressed my face up against him, coaxing him to press deeper into me. It was a good position for doing it. Deep throating, I mean. Some girls aren't into that, I know, but nothing turns me on more. I've been working on it ever since I started going out with Jimmy. All I have to do is take a deep breath, hold my neck straight, and swallow. And I swallowed Jimmy smoothly, filling my throat as he slid into me. I was so lost in the taste of Jimmy's cock and the feel of it sliding down my throat that even though I heard him grunt, "Zombie must eat human flesh," it didn't register until I felt him pulling my thong aside. By then, his tongue was so close to my pussy that there wasn't even any time to anticipate it. It slid hard against my flesh, and he knew then, if he'd had any doubt, just how wet I was. I laid back, neck straight, and felt Jimmy slowly grinding on top of me as he slid his cock down my throat. It's a more complicated sort of motion than one might think, but my zombie's gotten pretty coordinated. So much so that he was able to fuck me slowly, smoothly, even sensuously, while his tongue found my clit. If I hadn't been so full, I would have gasped. I would have moaned. As it was, I couldn't make a sound, not even low in my throat, as I felt the tip of his tongue starting to work my throbbing, swollen clit. I felt my body straining instinctively, trying to arch my back, lift my ass off the bed, press my pussy more firmly into his face. But I couldn't. Locked in Annette's restraints, I was stretched to the limit. All I could do was lay there and let Jimmy use my mouth as he licked me mercilessly, knowing exactly the touch that would make me explode into the stratosphere. I wanted to say it. I wanted to moan it. I wanted to tell him, "Jimmy, baby, I'm gonna come," but I couldn't. All I could do was lay there. All I could do was lay there, dissolve into the sensation of his tongue and my clit, and let him slide down my throat, pulling back every few seconds to let me breathe before sliding in again. But he knew it was approaching. He could read my body, could tell from the way I tensed and struggled against the bonds that I was getting very, very close. Which is good, because he slid his cock out of my mouth, leaving me panting and drooling, spit covering my face and running down my chin, my mouth wide open as I finally let the deep moans explode from my mouth, let him know that I was only seconds away. When I came, I tried to buck, tried to fuck my pussy against his face. It was my body moving like a zombie's, no brain to tell it to stop.
But it didn't matter. It was hopeless because I was stretched so tight I couldn't move. All I could do was pull on the chains, moaning and whimpering and coming as Jimmy's tongue drove my clit over the edge. When my moans quieted, I gave Jimmy's cock one last savory lick, running my lips up and down its enormous length. Then he pulled away and crawled on top of me, between my legs. I knew what was coming, and I felt the momentary pang of vague fear and intense, overwhelming arousal that comes from knowing that Jimmy's going to enter me. I didn't even realize it until I felt him guiding his thick cockhead to my pussy, though. Didn't realize that he'd reached up to the headboard and squeezed a thick glob of lube into his hand, smeared it over his cockhead, slicked more of it around the entrance to my pussy. Usually we use lube when he fucks me, lots of it, but I guess it still caught me off guard. I was still wrapped in the costume of an innocent virgin, naive, about to be taken by a huge, scary monster, even though the costume itself, all but the thong, lay in a limpid pool at the foot of the bed.
"Zombie god, demand virgin sacrifice!" growled Jimmy, and he entered me in one smooth, hard, well-lubricated thrust.
I was so wet, so turned on, so opened, that it went into me easily. His cock took me in a single rapturous push, possessing every inch of my cunt as his big zombie body settled on top of me. I always get a little tighter right after I come, but everything feels so much better. Even the last taut embrace of my pussy around Jimmy's huge cock made me moan with delight. I would have pushed up against him, would have lifted my ass to meet his thrust, but I couldn't move. Jimmy began fucking me as I looked up into his zombie eyes. The prosthetic head wound was beginning to melt, and his face glistened with sweat, making the makeup run. Coagulated stage blood went liquid again and dripped down onto my face. The gash was disintegrating, pulling free from his flesh and turning into a mass of goo as he fucked me harder. He looked ridiculous. I didn't laugh, though, because all I could say was, "Fuck me, zombie master! Make me your zombie princess!" Jimmy ground his hips slowly, leaning heavily so that his pubic bone pressed against my clit. I gasped as he did that. He knows it's the perfect way to make me come. "Fuck," I moaned. "Fuck yes." I was going to do it again, maybe before he did. I wished I could grind against him, wish I could push up and help him take me, help him fuck me, help him make me come. But I was immobile, and as I dissolved into the sensation of being fucked helpless, I felt my orgasm building, utterly out of my control. And then I came, stretching my limbs against the manacles, my breath choking in my throat as I closed my eyes as tight as I could. My climax exploded through me. An instant later, my zombie lover grunted, this time not a stage grunt, but a real one, an uncontrolled rumble of pleasure followed by a monster howl as he came inside me. The sensations of my pussy contracting around his thickness melted with the feeling of slickness as he filled me with cum. Still moaning, bathed in afterglow, I opened my eyes. Jimmy's head wound finally dislodged from his head and went glop on the pillow next to me in a red, wet mess. "Oh, fuck," he sighed. "See," I giggled. "It's true what they say. Love heals all wounds." "I don't think Annette and Mike are going to see it that way," he said, eyeing the stage blood stain he'd made on their pillow. "I'll tell you what," I whispered. "I'll convince them." And that is a wonderful Elizabeth Colvin story. It's just so fitting because pretty much everybody around the Castro and around, I mean, besides drag queens, zombies are one of the most popular costumes. But I have to say another extremely popular costume, of course, anything in a uniform, but cops. Which brings us to our next story, Creatures of the Night by Thomas Roche. As a lot of you may know, Thomas is a really good friend of mine, and he's an excellent erotica writer. We've worked together on a lot of different projects, a lot of different books, a lot of different websites, and we're actually even cooking up more interesting things at this very moment. But anyway, Creatures of the Night is a favorite of mine by Thomas, because it's especially perfect for San Francisco. It takes place in San Francisco. In fact, it takes place in the Castro. So it'll give you kind of a taste of, well, at least what a lot of us fantasize is really going on out there while everyone's running around in their costumes. And now, Creatures of the Night by Thomas S. Roche. She wore a tight pink skirt, garter belt, black fishnet stockings, knee-high boots, and a tight electric blue vinyl bustier. Her hair was ratted out and bleached blonde, and her makeup was caked on thick and heavy. She had a neon green purse slung at her side. The cop stopped dead in his tracks when he saw her, and they would have locked eyes if his hadn't been behind the mirrored sunglasses.
The whore's eyes flicked from the guy's chiseled, clean-shaven face, down his muscled physique, into the tight tan uniform to the knee-high black leather boots polished to a flawless sheen. A wry look passed the whore's face, and her full, pouty lips painted cocksucker red, twisted in a smile. She took a drag off her cigarette and put her wrists out, holding them together.
"I think you'd better put the cuffs on me, officer," she said. "I think you'd better take me in."
The cop blushed. His friend, wrapped head to toe in white bandages except for a pair of swim goggles, laughed hysterically. The whore's two friends, who were both wearing plaid skirts and had their hair in pigtails, and their hairy, muscled legs swathed in ill-fitting white stockings, shared a high five while the cop swallowed nervously.
"Sorry, ma'am," he said, pointing to the CHP nameplate on his chest. "I only prosecute traffic violations."
"Oh, let me jaywalk, then," she said, running out into the crosswalk before the light could change. The two schoolgirls shrieked and grasped each other. A yellow cab slammed to a halt and honked. The whore giggled and danced out of the way. The cab driver flipped her off, but by that time the light had turned green and the crowd was gushing across Castro Street. The cop looked longingly after the prostitute as she and her schoolgirl friends hurried into the night. All three were swaying unsteadily and tittering every few steps. The mummy tisked as he and his friend crossed and headed up 18th Street.
"Nice going, Eric Estrada. You find the only straight girl in the Castro begging you to handcuff her, and you let her get away. What kind of cop are you?"
"Mike, she has to be a dude."
"Oh, don't give me that shit. She's like 4'8".
They walked up 18th Street with the crowd, heading toward the apartment where Mike's old roommate was having what Mike had promised would be the wildest Halloween party of all time.
"She is not 4'8". She's like 5'2". And what kind of girl is that aggressive?"
"Oh, gee, I don't know, a drunk one in the Castro on Halloween, maybe? She's a girl, Terry, trust me on this one."
"How would you know?"
"Hello, 8 years living in the Castro, I think I can tell the difference. Besides, even if she isn't, a proper blowjob would do you good. Not that I'm suggesting anything, but didn't you say you were like a Kinsey 1.3 or something?" Terry opened his mouth to respond, but Mike blurted out, "Hey, look, there's Steve. I'll catch up with you on the next block."
"Hey, Mike, wait a minute," Terry called after him feebly.
Mike vanished into the crowd and Terry sighed and followed the tide of people up 18th Street. The streets throbbed with the rhythm of dance music blasting out of the bars. The crowd swirled around him. Vampires, witches, cheerleaders, prom queens, ballerinas, army men, big-time wrestlers, and lots of cops. Terry's wasn't even the only full-on CHP outfit. In fact, he'd spotted two or three of them, but he was the only one actually wearing the shades, which seemed to make a big difference. He felt a hand on his wrist, grabbing and pulling at him. He turned and stared, then began following. It took him a few seconds to realize what had happened, and another few to believe it. By that time, the whore had dragged him over to the edge of a little Victorian and pushed him up into a little alcove that held the garbage cans. She pushed him up against the wall. With his sunglasses on, he couldn't see at all. Her purse hit the ground next to them. She kissed him once, hard, her tongue tasting of vodka and cigarettes, the scent of cheap perfume, hair bleach and drunk sweat filling his nostrils and mingling with the garbage smell of the access corridor. He felt her hand on his crotch.
My name's Terry, he said stupidly when her lips left his.
She whispered harshly,
Shh, I have a name too, and I'm not usually a whore, she told him, but tonight I get to pretend.
She had slipped his handcuffs out of his belt pouch and pressed them into his palm.
You do have the key, don't you?
He nodded and told himself he shouldn't be doing this, even as he slipped the cuffs on her and ratcheted them closed. She kissed him again, and he put his arms around her, let his fingers find her ass in that tight skirt. She wasn't wearing anything underneath. He wanted to touch her, kiss her, take those tight clothes off, but this wasn't about that. She was a nameless whore for the moment, his nameless whore, his nameless whore. And whatever kind of crazy game she was playing, Terry shut his eyes and let her pull him along. She dropped to her knees. Even with her hands cuffed, it was easy enough to get the big CHP belt open, even easier to get his zipper down. Terry leaned against the wall as she took out his cock, full and hard.
Shouldn't you use a...
He stopped as she took him in her mouth, and his own mouth went wide, and he let his hands wiggle into her brittle, bleached hair as she went to work. Her head bobbed up and down, her lips clamped tight around his shaft as she clutched her cuffed hands together at her throat. Terry closed his eyes and let himself melt into the feeling of the whore's warm mouth on his cock, her lips sliding halfway down his shaft, then three quarters, then all the way as he felt his head pressing into her throat.
He wondered again if she was a guy dressed up, or if Mike had been right and she was just a very drunk and very horny girl on Halloween. He heard her whimpering. He felt her tongue swirling around his head as she came up for air, and he realized all in a rush that he didn't really care as much as he thought he did. Then she let his cock hover between her parted lips, looked up at him, smiling all mischievous and open-mouthed, as if she guessed his thoughts. Then she took his cock in her mouth again and started sucking him off in earnest. He had never been done so quickly, so businesslike, but with so much enthusiasm. He had never vanished into pleasure with such rapidity without wondering what he should do to reciprocate. He just leaned there against the wall, smelling garbage and perfume, running his fingers through the blonde horsehair and feeling himself mount toward orgasm. When he was about to come, she pulled his cock out and took his balls in her mouth, then stroked him, her hands one atop the other around his shaft, so that she could feel the hot spurt of his cum on her palms. It ran down her arms and dribbled onto the ground between her stocking legs. Terry realized that he'd shouted when he came, maybe for the first time ever. The whore looked up at him, smiling, her lipstick smeared everywhere and her lips glistening with spittle. She slipped her hands off his cock. "Let me go, officer," she said with a smile. Without thinking, he got out his keychain and unlocked the handcuffs. They were covered in his cum. She got out a pack of tissues from her purse and wiped off her hands, offering him a couple to dab his cock off and wipe the handcuffs. Then she stood up. "Can I?" he began, but she cut him off. "Nope," she said, and kissed him once. "Thanks, officer." She turned and hurried around the garbage cans, out of the cramped little access corridor, back onto 18th Street. Terry zipped up, and without even buckling, he ran after her. He caught one last glimpse of the girl high-fiving her two schoolgirl friends, and then the three of them disappeared into the crowd. "Terry, I've been looking all over for you. Where'd you go?" "I'm not sure yet," said Terry, buckling his belt. "Let's get a drink." And now I'm going to read you Thomas's bio, but it's a little off. I'll explain why. His bio says, "More than 300 of Thomas Roche's articles and stories have appeared in books, in magazines, and on the web. He edits the Noirotica series of crime noir erotica anthologies and is at work on a series of crime novels." In truth, I think that number is actually around 400 articles and stories that have been published. He is an amazingly prolific writer and setting really quite a record for erotica writing. You can visit his website at skidroche.com. And now I'm right about at the half an hour mark for the show, which is a pretty long show. I'm going to go ahead and leave you with these two pieces of Halloween erotica. And I hope that if you're out there celebrating Halloween tonight, that you have a fun, safe, and extra sexy time. And if you do have some sort of crazy hot sexual adventure, please email me and tell me about it, because I love to hear about people's crazy sexual adventures. And I promise I won't put your email on my website unless you ask me to. Again, my website is tinynibbles.com. Thank you for listening to Open Source Sex, and happy Halloween.